Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, coming to you live from Gilbert, Arizona. I'm joined by my co-host, Landon Mance from Las Vegas. Landon, good morning.
Checking in. Good morning.
All right, well, let's jump in. Today's topic is retirement planning for business owners. So this actually gives me the opportunity to use a phrase that I hear all the time from business owners, whether they're prospective clients, clients, never going to be clients, but they're business owners. One thing that we hear all the time is, my business is my retirement plan. So thoughts, Landon, how often do you hear that?
That's kind of one of your signature phrases. And I'm over here smiling because I love that phrase so much. And I love that you use that phrase regularly because we've heard it, I don't even know. I mean, maybe 100 times in our careers from current and prospective clients who hired us or didn't hire us. But we've heard that many, 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 many times. And so I think we can bring a really unique perspective to this for multiple different reasons. I'll just list a couple quickly. One is obviously we're wealth managers by trade. So we've been serving entrepreneurs for a couple decades between the two of us. So we know how to work with entrepreneurs, but we also know how they think because you and I have owned multiple different businesses outside of Backbone Planning Partners. We've had retirement plans in those different businesses. So we also have a retirement plan in our own business. So we're able to look at this from all the different angles that you could possibly think about as an entrepreneur, as an employee of the firm that we own, as an owner of a firm where we have a plan for the other employees that we don't participate in. So hopefully we've got some great insights we can bring here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, here's the reality, Landon. Our business is part of our retirement plan too, but the key word is part, right? Because as wealth managers, we would be like cobblers without proper shoes if we didn't do our own retirement planning and our own financial planning, right? So the reality is, like you mentioned, we do have a 401k plan for Backbone Planning Partners. We participate in it, both of us. We offer it to our employees. And so that's just one way to look at it and say, what are some things that we can do? Because it comes back to like the basics of financial planning. And one of the things that I come to from an investment standpoint is diversification, right? Well, if all of our eggs are in the Backbone planning basket, that's not a smart move regardless, right? We've got a well-established business. It does well. We have really high retention. We have great clients. We feel like we do very, very good work. And so it's a stable business, but it's still just one part of the investments that we own. Is we have to have this investor mindset of us owning the business as an asset, not just the job that we have. And at some point we're going to sell this and that's going to generate a bunch of cash and it'll be enough for us to retire on.
I think there was one point in my career, probably a long time ago, that I kind of bought into this notion of entrepreneurs saying, I don't have the capacity. I don't have the desire to fund a retirement plan because I'm just putting all my profits back into the business. And why would I want to give you, Mr. Wealth Manager, any additional monies when I can plow it back into my business and generate 20, 30, 50, 100% returns? But as we've worked with more and more entrepreneurs over the years, and so, you know, our specialty is working with entrepreneurs doing $5 million plus in annual revenue. Generally, they're going to have a minimum of 10 to 20 employees. Working with enough of those clients for a number of years now, I think you and I are on the same page when we would say, like, that's not a great answer at all. And I think it's really easy for us to, I'm not going to say talk somebody out of that mindset, but to educate them enough to where they see the value in funding their retirement outside of their business, because that is not a great strategy for multiple different reasons. The industry that your business is in can turn, the economy can turn, you lose a big client, your employee steals money from you. Like, we see this stuff every single day. Just in the last year, we've had multiple clients get taken advantage of from their employees. Interest rates have gone up, really affecting loans for growth or for acquisitions that they've made. And we've seen it all. And it's just not a good, it's not a good narrative to follow, because we just know how volatile things can be in the SMB space.
I mean, you hit it right on the head. The reality is those things that you just mentioned are examples that we've literally seen within the last year with current clients of ours that have well-established, successful businesses, but things happened, right? Whether it's they took on too much growth with SBA rates that were in the sixes, and they're now in the 10 to 12 range, depending on how you look at it, because it's a variable interest rate. And that caused them major cash flow issues. And then on top of that, the economy kind of threw them a loop and their revenues dropped at the same time. Like, well-established, long-running businesses that still have issues, right? And we talked about cash flow last time, or I did. And the reality is it's always a concern with small businesses. And it comes back to the D word that I used earlier, diversification. If you've given yourself another alternative and not relied 100% on your business, you're going to be in a better position. And we do the same thing with investment portfolios. We don't put everything in Tesla stock and say, let it ride, right? It does very, very well sometimes, and it does very, very poorly sometimes. And so we diversify by owning different types of stocks, different types of investments overall. There's bonds in there. There may be other alternative investments. Why do we do that? It's a protection. We diversify to protect. So we've got to protect that business. We've got to protect our retirement and our families regardless. We're taking massive risks by being business owners. We need to make sure that we're compensating ourselves for that risk. You know, I think of Mike Michalowicz, who was on the podcast years ago, probably close to 5 years ago now, talking about his book, Profit First, at the time. Well, it just makes me think of pay yourself first. Make sure that you as the owner are not plowing every single dime back in. You talked about it. Business owners will say, well, but I've got a 25% profit rate on my company. So why would I put it with you when you're telling me you can get me 10 or 12 or whatever? We never specify an interest rate, by the way, but if I can expect to get 10 or 12% long-term or 8% or whatever, why would I do that if I can get 25 cents on every dollar I invest in my business? Well, the number one answer is diversification, which builds in that protection, because it's not 25%. And if a business owner tells you that they're making 25% profit every single year, they're lying to you.
And you're hitting on, like, why entrepreneurs neglect retirement planning. So you just hit on a really important, you know, topic there. So let's touch on one other really prominent response that we hear, which is, like, you kind of mentioned it, which is relying on the sale of the business as their retirement plan, which also ties into kind of this lack of knowledge around retirement planning options. A lot of entrepreneurs don't know or understand the options out there. Usually they just default to like the 401k plan. Sometimes they like them, sometimes they don't for whatever reason. But we hear this a lot. Again, in the sweet spot that we work in, $5 million plus of annual revenue, which typically is going to result in, let's say, $500,000 to $750,000 of profit on the low end, up to maybe $2 or $2.5 million of profit on the high end, right? If it's a uber profitable business, maybe it's got some kind of SaaS component or something like that. But what generally happens is that we've got this business. And again, I'll just use an example. Let's say it's a $5 million a year company doing $1 million in profit, which is very typical for a business that size. A business owner is generally going to think that that business is worth maybe 5 to 8 million. We've heard upwards of 10 or 12 million sometimes, which is, again, generally speaking, not the case at all. A million dollar profit small business is going to typically trade at somewhere between, let's call it, $3 and $5 million. If it's a pretty poorly run business, you could still probably get about $3 million for it. If it's a really well run small business with $1 million of profit, you could easily get $4 or $5 million, maybe $6 million on the high end. So generally, as entrepreneurs, we think that our businesses are worth significantly more than they are. So just taking this one level deeper, let's say that it's going to fall into the average. So we're going to get $4 or $5 million in enterprise value for this $1 million a year profit business. Well, now we've got to factor in taxes. We've got to factor in fees involved in that transaction. And so the two of those combined could be 30%, 40%. Yeah. Right. So now we're cutting out a huge chunk of this. And then you figure, okay, so let's say you're left with 60%. So you got a $4 million business. What's 60% of that?
2.4.
Okay. $2.4 million. So Austin, if you got a $2.4 million pot of money, just conservatively, what can you draw off that in a year as far as income goes? Conservatively, if you want that money to essentially try to last you the rest of your life.
About $100,000.
$100,000. So as an entrepreneur, I'm used to making $500,000, $1 million before tax. And now I can draw down $100,000 off of this portfolio. That doesn't feel very sustainable to me.
I mean, obviously, if you pushed it, you could get 130, 140, 150, but still, it's nowhere near what you were making before. And the other thing that almost zero business owners factor in is, oh, wait, that's right. My truck is paid for through the business, and so is the insurance. And so's the gas, and so's this, and so my health insurance, and so's this. And so, like, they don't factor in all of the expenses that are also going through the business that they now have to pay on their own. So I would say that that's maybe even worse than the fact that you might be looking at a cut in income, is the fact that you've got to pick up expenses that you haven't paid for a number of years as well. So again, it just comes back to, why would you put all of your eggs in one basket when there's opportunities out there to do something else? And it's, if for no other reason, it's for protection. But what we tell our clients all the time, Len, and you hear me say this all the time, like, we need to plan for your financial independence, not counting the business at all. Mm-hmm. We're still going to use it, right? But not count it at all. And let's figure out a way to get you to financial independence regardless. And then if we're able to hit that number, which we're going to do everything that we can to help you get to that number, that's cherry on the top, right? Think about all the additional vacations that you're going to be able to go on with your spouse and with your kids and with your grandkids and whatever. So it's the reality that it's a smart move regardless. Let's plan as though the business doesn't exist and then hope that it's a cherry on the top.
Absolutely. All right. So first, before we talk about some options, let's just talk about, like, let's highlight some of the tax advantages of using retirement accounts. Regardless of what kind of an account it is, generally, you're going to look at two different options as far as tax advantages go. Generally, like, you've got pre-tax and you've got post-tax. So any money that you're funneling in to a pre-tax retirement plan, you are not going to pay taxes on that money that goes into that plan in the given year if it's pre-tax, right? So right off the bat there, you're getting a nice tax savings there by money that you're funneling into the plan. The other route is that you funnel money into the post-tax bucket, which is generally like the Roth bucket. And here's the nice thing about this. Again, I'm speaking to the clientele that we generally work with, right? So generally, if your business is doing more than $5 million a year in annual revenue, business is doing, you know, generally at least $500,000 minimum of annual profit. And so if you're a sole business owner, you're probably precluded from putting money into like a Roth IRA. So we can funnel some money into the Roth part of a employer retirement plan. So you don't get the tax deduction in the current year. However, that money that you put into this portion will grow tax-free, meaning that 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you've got this nice pot of money to draw from, and all the money that comes out of that pot is tax-free. So Austin, I'll kick it over to you. Let's talk about some different retirement account options for entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big three, I would say, depending on the size of the company, are SEP IRA, Simple IRA, and 401k. Everybody's probably heard of a 401k. Most business owners have probably heard of a SEP IRA. Simple's less common today, but it does still exist. There's benefits and drawbacks to all of them. And we don't have a lot of time to kind of go into all of the benefits and drawbacks to all of them. But I would look at it this way. If you're a solo entrepreneur or a solopreneur, SEP IRA is probably where you're going to start. And it may be where you are everywhere, forever. Simple IRA, my personal thought on that is it just becomes cumbersome if the company is starting to grow anyway. And so I would probably just look at a 401k. 401ks were typically looked away from in the past because a simple IRA was less expensive to set up. But with technology today, I just don't see that being the case. You can set up a 401k for about the same amount of money as a simple IRA, and then you don't have to transition later. So that's my personal thought. You may differ with me on that, Landon, but I would go with the 401k. And you can even actually set up a solo 401k as opposed to a SEP IRA. So just some things to think about. But one thing I just kind of want to hit on here, you talked about the money that can go into a 401k plan. And if they're making too much money to qualify for a Roth, well, you can put a decent amount of money into the Roth version of the 401k, right? So you're talking $23,000, $30,000 if they're over age 50, and it might be 23,500 and 35. I don't remember if that changed at the beginning of the year, to be honest with you. But regardless, I mean, a decent amount of money that can go into that bucket. But what a lot of people don't realize is that as a business owner, there's a whole heck of a lot more that you can throw into that plan via profit sharing, or you can add what's called a cash balance plan to it, or you can even set up your own private pension plan to where you can put, you know, call it $250,000 a year into a plan where you're kind of creating your own pension plan, if you will. So there's a lot of things that can be done and a lot of ways to either defer taxes, deduct them today or not deduct them today, but defer them until it's actually time to take them at retirement. So don't just think that a 401k is too expensive, I'm going to avoid it, or it really only lets me get like 30 grand in there. So what's the big deal? I make $1 million, 30 grand's nothing. That does nothing for me. if you're working with a financial planner who truly understands the power of how these plans work specifically for business owners, they will be able to help you defer a significant amount of your income and start to build a significant asset for yourself in the future outside of your business.
No doubt about it. All right, let's briefly kind of talk about some kind of like actionable strategies, thoughts, considerations for building long-term wealth outside of the business so that people that are listening to this can actually feel like they're taking away some good nuggets. So let's start with like, Austin, what's a good starting point? We've got an entrepreneur that's got a successful business. Maybe they're in their 40s or 50s. He or she has not done a great job of saving outside of the business, but they want to take their first step towards doing something. So help us kind of wrap our heads around like, what's a plan that they could consider? What's a dollar amount or a percentage of their income that they should start thinking about? Give some actionable steps to someone that they can start a new plan starting like today.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to what I just said, either the SEP IRA or the 401k, depending on your structure, how many employees you have, et cetera, et cetera. You can put a decent amount of money into that if you use the profit sharing aspect specifically, or a cash balance plan added to that. And so it gives you the ability to get a decent amount in there. But if you're 40 or 50 years old and you haven't saved anything to that point, one, I would say it's time to get pretty darn aggressive. I mean, I would be off the top of my head, I'd be looking at like 25% of what I make being set aside. I tell people when they're young, start with about 10% and just kind of maintain that for the rest of your life and you should be fine. But if you're 40 or 50 and you have nothing, as opposed to somebody who's starting their career in their early or mid 20s, you got to step that up considerably. So about 25% is probably not a bad number.
Yeah. And 25%, if you're funneling that into the pre-tax bucket, I'm just using a rule of thumb here, but if you're funneling 25% away into like a pre-tax bucket, that's going to only feel like 18 or 20%, maybe somewhere around there, because you're going to be getting a pretty hefty tax deduction. So you're not going to feel the full 25%. You might only feel 18 to 20%. Is that fair?
I mean, I would say that it could even be more depending on which tax bracket you're in. You know, let's say all in, especially if you live in California, let's say all in, you're at 50, 55%. Well, your 25% really only feels like 12. So it depends on what your tax situation is, but you're absolutely right. If it's going in pre-tax, you don't feel it in terms of your cash flow as much as you might think. And it puts a significant dent towards you building some long-term wealth.
So maybe a good question to kind of close out with is like, why should somebody start doing this now? My response to why you would do this now is confidence and clarity. By building up a nice, healthy nest egg outside of your business, it is going to give you a ton of confidence as you work towards your retirement date, your financial independence date, whatever you want to call it. Again, as entrepreneurs, a lot of us don't ever see ourselves retiring, but every single one of us wants to be financially independent. Every single person that we've ever talked to who's an entrepreneur and a non-entrepreneur, everybody wants to be financially independent, which just means you're only working because you want to, not because you have to. So it gives you massive amount of confidence to know that you've got this nice, healthy nest egg built up outside of your business so that you're working towards this financial independence. And it gives you clarity as to like what your number is, right? It gives you absolute clarity into what your number is so that you can tie in some of the business, you can tie in some of the personal wealth that you built outside of the business. So confidence and clarity, those are the two reasons that I think everybody should be funneling money into the personal wealth planning side of things outside of their business.
Yeah, I think those are great ones. And I definitely would have gone that direction or something similar. I would say peace of mind, which is very similar to confidence or clarity. But having that peace of mind that you're on the right track, I think is a big deal. Because here's the reality. I want everybody to kind of come away today with kind of a call to action, right? Here's the reality. If you're a business owner, even if you're just doing, I don't want to say just, because this is, it's a big deal. Even if you're just doing $1 million a year in revenue, you should be working with a financial planner that knows what they're doing and that can help you. But at the very least, there are online calculators all over the place where you can try to figure out what your number is. Mm-hmm. I make this much today. I want to retire at this point, making as much as I make today, but I need to add in, you know, inflation and all those kinds of things, cost of living adjustments, to where in that year, this is the amount of money I need. At the very least, figure that out, right? A better idea would be to meet with a financial planner and help you start to put together an actual financial plan. And the key to that financial plan is consistency, right? So you said confidence and clarity, but it's consistency. So start a savings plan that's automated, it's consistent, it's coming out of however you're getting paid, your guaranteed payments, your draws, your whatever, and it's consistently going into this other account that you're kind of forgetting about, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you want to reach out, we do have our own calculators that we can help you with putting together a Value Builder Freedom Score in terms of your business itself, your personal finances, et cetera. So we're happy to have that conversation at any point. But the reality is, schedule a meeting with a financial planner, open a retirement account if you don't have one, or review the one that you have and make sure that you're taking full advantage of it are the biggest calls to actions that I can give you. But I know we're kind of at the end and you may have some final thoughts, Landon, but we did have a question come in from a live listener. I won't go on into this too much, but we have a question from Nathan Larive who says, do you all think Bitcoin becomes a bigger part of retirement planning in the next 3 to 5 years? I think that it's already become a larger part of retirement planning. I do think that you're going to start to see options to participate in cryptocurrency funds inside of 401k plans. Some of them probably already exist, but the mainstream retirement plan providers have not necessarily added those yet. But I do think that it's going to become a larger and larger part. Now, cryptocurrency is extremely volatile. So it would be one of those where me as a financial planner would tell you that that should be a small percentage of your portfolio, but small percentages of things that really take off can have a big impact on your portfolio. So I do think that it will become a larger and larger part of retirement planning going forward.
Great question, Nathan. We get that question pretty frequently from our clients, entrepreneurs. We love kind of digging into alternative options. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that it is extremely volatile. And we've seen these massive increases in some of these valuations in these different cryptocurrencies. And so anytime there is an asset where we see big spikes, it grabs people's attention, right? And so we're not gonna give some knee-jerk reaction. Austin and I aren't gonna, we don't plow a bunch of our own money into cryptocurrency just because we've seen these big spikes. You gotta be thoughtful and strategic in how you allocate money into these things, because we're not trying to get rich overnight. We're patient, we're strategic, we're long-term thinkers. Do we think it's important to have a percentage allocated to cryptocurrencies in the coming years and now? Absolutely. And we have taken those steps to do that. But it's all about being slow and methodical in how you allocate to these extremely volatile asset classes.
Good question, Nathan. Appreciate the interaction. So yeah, unless you have anything else to add, Landon, I would just close with schedule a meeting with a financial planner and make sure that you're doing something for your own financial independence outside of the business. Landon uses this all the time. I'm surprised he didn't use it today. It's taking some assets off of the business balance sheet and moving them to the personal balance sheet. It's a really important part of every business owner's life.
Yep. Well said. And I'll close with this. You said schedule a meeting with a financial planner. And I will say this, you need to ask them questions about their experience and their understanding and their considerations specifically around working with entrepreneurs, because most advisors don't specialize in working with entrepreneurs. So look, you don't need to reach out to us, but there's some other really fantastic advisory firms that do great work for entrepreneurs. So find a firm that specializes or that has a ton of experience working with entrepreneurs, because you're going to get a ton more value from them than you're going to get from just some Joe or Mary Smith advisor who kind of dabbles in working with entrepreneurs. The experience will be significantly different. So I'll just close with that. And we appreciate everybody joining. We'll do another show here as we normally do in the next couple of weeks. So we'll look forward to having you guys there. It looks like our next show is going to be the 25th, 9:30 Pacific, preparing for the unexpected, emergency funds and contingency planning for small and medium-sized businesses. Thanks for joining us. Talk soon.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.